I'm going to move this mic because if I don't, it's going to go flying in a little bit. I'm very much my hands move when I hope I'm not messing anything up. All right. Hopefully that'll be good. So as our bridge kids just reminded us, we gathered in this space, Ash Wednesday, for a time of song and scripture and prayer, the imposition of the ashes, and the season of Lent began. We read pieces of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. They just reminded you of some of those. Each week of Lent, during worship, we reflected on other pieces of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. As Holy Week begins, we remember the way Jesus lived his faith in the world has brought him and us to this time and place. We remember it is the way of Jesus to which we are called. We remember that Jesus challenges everything about what we think we know about how the world works or should work. We remember that Jesus upsets the systems, lifts up the lowly, seeks the lost, calls out the proud, practices radical grace, preaches the inclusive, equitable, justice-minded reign of God here and now, and invites us to do the same. And yes, as the Bridge kids said, Jesus has one more important lesson to teach: the way of the cross. A life of servanthood that leads to sacrifice. Every year on Palm Sunday, I try and think of how can we hold the message of Palm Sunday and Good Friday together in one service? How can we go from Hosanna to It is finished in 1 hour? I do this because I know not everyone will be able to make it to all of the services of Holy Week. Some of you we will see today, and we won't see you again until next Sunday as we gather to celebrate Easter, Resurrection Day. But if this is the case, and it's okay if it is, if this is the case, then all we do in this space today is celebrate, lift the Hosanna, then a very important piece of our story of faith is missed. A very important way our story of faith speaks to our lives is missed. A very important way that God meets us where we are is missed. What do I mean? Well, let me just say this. There's some heavy stuff that I know we all hold right now, from continued violence between Russia and Ukraine, Israel and Hamas and the people of Gaza, the conviction of police officers in Rankin County that brought to light unspeakable acts of hate and hurt that is maddening and heartbreaking, tragedy within the life of a neighboring school, our Northwest Rankin friends, and then just friends and family that we all have that we know are struggling with sickness or addiction or depression. And I know there's a lot more each of us could add to the list, some of the things we carry ourselves silently. We have a faith story that doesn't just name happy celebratory days and act like everything is okay. We have a faith story that speaks to the heavy stuff, that holds it, that actually creates spaces, days within the calendar to say it is okay if sometimes the weight is too much. It's okay to cry and acknowledge the hurt. It's okay to name the pain. A story that says you don't have to be afraid to face the demons. This week, we journey with Jesus from a triumphant, hope-filled entry into Jerusalem. We feel the energy and excitement as this man who healed people, offered forgiveness, walked on water, brought new life to those who had died, calmed storms, fed crowds with food that seemed to multiply, and made people whole again. This man enters Jerusalem challenging the very power structures of his day to say there is a new day, a new way, here, now. And we journey with Jesus as all the excitement, energy, and hope comes to an end. It's heavy. It's sad. It's hurtful and painful. The complete picture of Holy Week is valuable because Holy Week reminds us that in life, in the midst of joy and celebration and hope, there will be sudden experiences of pain and hurt and sadness. The complete picture of Holy Week is valuable because it says, yes, pain and hurt exist. Name it. Make space to grieve over it, but don't be afraid because Sunday is coming. Holy Week reminds us that we cannot truly rejoice at the resurrection until we truly grieve at the cross. And we cannot truly grieve at the cross unless we come as those holding the hope of resurrection. So I hope you are able to join us to be present for some of the opportunities offered during this Holy Week. The lunch worship Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, our Monday, Thursday service, the Good Friday concert at Galloway. But if not, today we will hear the story. We will listen as it all falls apart. Today we begin the journey of Holy Week. A week that begins in triumph, quickly moves to devastating tragedy, and ends with the joy of the resurrection. As one pastor said, if your life has ever fallen apart, if you have ever lost hope, then this week is for you. Welcome to Holy Week. As we prepare to hear God's word this day, let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, source of all life. As we hear again the story of the Passion, let the same mind be in us that was in Christ, who was a servant that we might be free. Awaken our ears, open our hearts, and sustain the weary with your word. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Mark. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people.
While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her.
Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him.
On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room and where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal.
When it was evening, he came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and said to him one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born."
And while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." And then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though all fall away, I will not." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said vehemently, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all of them said the same.
They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. Look, my betrayer is at hand."
Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under the guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a rebel? Day after day I was with you in the temple preaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked.
They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimonies against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimonies against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with the hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.' But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, 'Have you no answer? What it is that they testify against you?' But he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him, 'Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?' And Jesus said, 'I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, 'Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?' And all of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him, 'Prophesy!' The guards also took him and beat him.
While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the female servants of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, 'You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth.' But he denied it, saying, 'I do not know or understand what you were talking about.' And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed. And the female servant, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders, 'This man is one of them.' But again, he denied it. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, 'Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and you talk like one. But he began to curse, and he swore an oath, 'I do not know this man you are talking about.' At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, 'Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept.
And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus and led him away and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And he answered him, 'You say so.' Then the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate asked him again, 'Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you.' But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed.
Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionist who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to this custom. Then he answered them, 'Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?' For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, 'Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?' They shouted back, 'Crucify him!' Pilate asked them, 'Why? What evil has he done?' But they all shouted the more, 'Crucify him!' So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began saluting him, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they struck his head with a reed, and they spat upon him, and they knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to be crucified.
They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take.
It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified 2 rebels, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him.
When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion, who stood facing him, saw that this is the way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger and of Joseph and Salome, who followed him when he was in Galilee and ministered to him. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray.